Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right back to the front lines of history in the making. And there is a piece of legislation pending that may be a Trojan horse. You got to be careful. This is a very, very important subject, and I want to bring this to your attention. After the debacle on January 6th, when Donald Trump falsely said that Mike Pence could overturn the election, and then he said that Mike Pence didn't have the courage, which incited the mob to murder Mike Pence. Mike Pence came within 40 feet of being murdered. He was hiding in a room, and the rabble came by him 40 feet away. Now, 40 feet, I've said this before, go to Lambeau Field, look at it on TV. 10-yard line, that's 30 feet. 12 yards is 36, 13, 39, a little over 13 yards, as far away as he was from being murdered because of Trump. And it was a lie. He didn't have the right to do it, to overturn anything. But they actually were talking about it seriously in the Republican Party. The Republican Party is creeping towards fascism. So a number of moderate Republicans and Democrats got together and they said, why don't we draft some legislation that just makes it clear that the vice president can't do it? And they came up with this bill. The lead sponsors are Manchin and Collins. Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Susan Collins of Maine. I don't trust either one of them, but you can read the bill, and some of it, there's some good stuff. But two of the premier election lawyers in the country oppose it. And because they oppose it, I thought about it a little more, and that's Mark Elias, who is the guy that is really the genius behind a lot of this voting litigation to try to stop the drift towards fascism. And Norm Eisen, he's the former White House, Obama White House lawyer that was involved with ethics. And they both are raising real concerns. And I share their concerns, and I want to tell you what it is. In a normal bill like this, you just say the vice president has a ministerial role. He can't change anything. He's just sort of like a town crier, or he's sort of like a carnival barker or a waiter at a table. He doesn't have any discretion at all. You tell him what you want. In this case, he gets the electoral votes and he just announces. Why do you need him? You could have a secretary do it. And if there's a normal one and you didn't have a Republican Party drifting towards fascism, you'd have something like that is, the popular vote in the state picks the electors, and that is conclusive. It's a pretty simple bill. No, Moscow Mitch and the rest, and even now there aren't clearly 10 Republican votes to push it over. There are only 9. Moscow Mitch has been hinting he might and he might not go for it and all that, but let's say they do get another moderate Republican to break off the filibuster, which is a separate issue, why there is even a filibuster. Here's what Mark Elias is saying, and Norm Eisen, and I really think Mark Elias has to be paid attention to. He has a concern. It says in it that if you have a dispute in the state about who should get the presidential electors, and guys, let me tell you something. From now on, there will always be a dispute. Always be in dispute. This will always be in dispute. Republican Party is drifting towards fascism. They will always claim fraud, even when there is none. Wisconsin's a good example. They'll say that mailing ballots into old age homes in and of itself is fraud, even though there is no impropriety in their being filled out and returned. They'll say that drop boxes is fraud, even though there were drop boxes when Trump got elected in 2016. But they don't want to overturn that election. They said that wasn't fraud. For some reason, that there were no fraudulent ballots there, but when Biden beat him, there must have been. You have 10% of the sheriffs in this country, 300 out of 3,000, the 3,000 sheriffs in this country. 300 of them belong to this Constitutional Sheriffs Association that say that the sheriff is the highest, most powerful person in government in any county, more than the president himself, and he can send deputies in to administer elections, decide who gets to vote, and look at the voter rolls and all that. It's false. But if they come in with a gun, there's a lot of 80-year-old women who aren't going to stand up to them. And there are a lot of 25-year-old guys who aren't going to stand up to them. Fascism is creeping into the Republican Party. So there will always be a dispute. There will always be fake electors because this, in a sense, almost justifies fake electors. So each party will put in a slate of electors regardless of who won the popular election. This statute says that in that event, the governor can decide which one to send in. Oh, really? Who do you think Scott Walker would have sent in? Who do you think Mastriano of Pennsylvania will send in if he's elected? Who do you think Cox of Maryland will send in if he's elected? Republican, Democratic senators or Democratic governors will send in whoever won the popular vote. Republican governors, some will send in whoever won the popular vote, but a number of them, enough to tilt the presidency, will send in the Republican slate. There is a provision for appeal. It has to be done within 6 days. Six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days. If you miss that, that's it. Then if you get it, it'll eventually go to the U.S. Supreme Court. That is 6 Republicans and 3 Democrats. Those five of those 6 Republicans have voted to overturn Roe v. Wade, even though that was not the core issue of the case, which is itself a constitutional violation. The Supreme Court is not supposed to get to a constitutional issue that is not central to the case. But they did it. This is the Supreme Court that is on track in a decision, probably 5-4, in this North Carolina case, to say that even state Supreme Courts and even state governors cannot interfere with or overturn anything that a state legislature does. They will say, after that case comes down, so by 2024, they will say, well, it's not what we would have done, but the law says the governor can pick it. And I think that Mark Elias is right in being afraid of that. And I would say this, how about a simpler bill? The vice president does not have the discretion to overturn anything. And the will of the people in the popular election picks the electors. That's a real simple bill. And the reason this convoluted bill came up is because the Republican Party is drifting very quickly now into fascism. We go to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
Oh, man, these talking heads on TV, you know, they know everything, you know, right? Kind of getting down on Biden because he finally spoke directly about January 6th and Trump himself yesterday. And then finally, after about 5 minutes of this back and forth, this one gal, I think she had something to do with W's administration, I don't care, whatever. And she got it right in my mind. She goes, you know, historically, this kind of dates back to the way Eisenhower treated McCarthy back in the 50s. He didn't pay him much attention for quite some time. And, you know, really, you're supposed to get in the back and forth with a total, you know, insane person. The president has more to do than that. And then, the whole thing was brought up because he's returning to Washington today to speak before some bunch of crazy right-wingers for the first time since he's left office. And I hope that gets little or no attention, too. But I think he's played him just about right myself. What do you think?
I agree. You know, I think Joe Biden is a good man, and I think he has done a very, very good job. I'm going to say a few things. I do not believe any other candidate could have beaten him. You know, I don't believe Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, Kamala Harris, any of them could have beaten Trump. Joe Biden did. Joe Biden not only put NATO back together and the EU, standing up to the Russians when Trump was servile to the Russians because he was on the take from them and been funded by them. Biden's put together a mini NATO in Asia to stop China. He's done a great job domestically. And yeah, when it comes to Trump in January 6th, you stay above the fray. Dwight Eisenhower did stay above the fray to a point, and then at some point, you have to say the obvious. I mean, Trump shoots his mouth off. Putin shoots his mouth off. They both shoot their mouths off. Trump will insult people. He'll call Jake Tapper fake Tapper. He'll call Mitch McConnell a broken-down old crow and, you know, a despicable and all this. He calls people names, which is kind of like a, you know, junior high type of situation. So, no, Biden's not going to get into that. But at some point, you have to say, we're not putting up with this. And one of the things that appears to be gaining some currency, and even in Republican circles, is how close Mike Pence came to being murdered, egged on by Donald Trump. Donald Trump said, if Mike Pence does the right thing, good, and if he doesn't, oh well, and then he tweets later in the afternoon. Pence didn't have the courage to reverse the election. Of course, he had no ability to reverse the election. Trump knew there were gallows, had already been elected, and that people were already going through saying, hang Mike Pence. And not only that, that these people were armed. He knew all of that. So even the Republicans are going, you know, that's too much. That is too much. So, yeah, I agree with you very much, Dick. I think that Biden has handled it perfectly. Biden is handling it correctly. And you don't want to give somebody too much oxygen. Trump figures out a way to make his own oxygen. Everybody's talking about him every day because of the outrageous things he does and the treasonous things he does in terms of praising Putin. But at some point, the president of the United States will speak out. Biden's done that. He will do it. But he does it with restraint, and he does it seldom enough that it has a lot of currency. We're going to break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
For a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome back. Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'll tell you what, and this is kind of a sad commentary. Very, very sad commentary, and you may have known this and you may not. But did you know that ever since 1996, the Center for Disease Control has been prohibited by law from doing research on gun violence, from even doing research on gun violence? That was because it was rammed through Republican Congress. And the Democrats were unable to overturn it the whole time. Now, for the first time, the CDC, Center for Disease Control, is being funded sufficiently to do that research, which I think is vitally necessary. Think about that for a second. Let's unpack that a little bit. Normally, what the CDC would have done, Center for Disease Control, they would have done polling, research. They would have done investigations and interviews, for instance, things like the use of these guns for suicide, especially by teenagers. How could that be prevented? Something as simple as gun locks, required gun locks, word to parents, some instructions or guidelines on how to do things. Another one might be, what induces mass murderers? Is there a way to stop that at the core? Sometimes you have parents who find out about it in a kid's journal and they turn them in, but there are frequently many, many indicators on social media. How can you best monitor that? What's serious and what isn't? This is all very profound research. It's important. And I'm just giving you a few examples. It's really a lot more profound than that. All of this was prohibited by law. Prohibited by law for 26 years because of the Republican Party. To my way of thinking, there's virtually no kind of field of inquiry that could have a beneficial purpose that it shouldn't be open. You can disagree with the results, but the point is that's how progress is made. I mean, that's how the Food and Drug Administration operates. There's intense research, and that's why we have clean food, clean medicine. A clean society with fewer murders and fewer gun murders is an objective. It should be an objective of ours. But for some reason, the Republican Party thinks that because the NRA is opposed to it, even research is off limits. Well, the good news, it's not off limits anymore. Joe Biden is president. We have a slim majority in the Congress. If there's a Republican majority in the Congress and they ever get the presidency, this will be shut down again and nothing will be done about gun violence and mass murder. Go to the lines. Millie of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Millie?
I want to call about a previous subject that you were discussing, and that has to do with Russia. And I recently saw an interview with Peter Strzok, or however you pronounce his name, P-T-R-Z-O-K. He was a FBI a deputy and a Russian expert. And actually, this was related to a Washington Post article that he wrote. And what he's saying is that on December 18th, Trump had a meeting that Cassidy Hutchinson referred to as this unhinged meeting, and that was on December 18th. And Peter Strzok is saying that he thinks that this is a Russian threat, that three of the election deniers in that meeting, Pat Cipollone, Eric Hirschman, who were attorneys of Trump, had no idea how this group of people got into the White House to talk with Trump. And the three people have significant connections to Russia. That's Rudy Giuliani, Mike Flynn, and Patrick Byrne. Now, we know about Rudy Giuliani and his association with questionable Russian oligarch. Mike Flynn, who received $45,000 that we know of from Russia, and he also was dating a Russian honeypot. But there's Patrick Byrne, who's the ex-CEO of Overstock. He was dating Maria Butina, who pleaded guilty. She was suspected of being a Russian spy, and she pleaded guilty for, you know, not identifying herself as a foreign agent or whatever that is. And Patrick Byrne had dated her for a couple of years. And we also know Maria Butina because Scott Walker was in a picture with her and also her boss, who was a known Russian employee in Washington, D.C. And Eric Hirschman, and we've seen him in the January 6th committee meetings, said he was shocked when he walked into Trump's office and saw these people. And he said, I had no idea who that Patrick Byrne is. And so Peter Strzok wrote a Washington Post article saying, this is a national security threat. How did these people end up in the White House? So right. I thought that was a lot.
Well, that's excellent information. We're going to do a segment on Russia after the break. But, Millie, thank you so much for calling in. Trump, when I say he's on the take, that's vernacular. Trump is funded by the Russians for something like 20 years. Eric Trump, his son, disclosed that. We're going to go to the lines for one more call before the break, and then I'm going to comment on what Millie just said. Jack in Milwaukee, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jack?
Hey, it's an honor to speak to a true patriot and a man who loves his country.
Thank you, I wanted
to make a quick comment. I'll try to get it quick. You had mentioned that five people died in that January insurrection. I think, in a way, I just wanted to have your opinion on this. It was like a blessing in disguise when the Secret Service limousine driver didn't take him there, because otherwise I think we would have had a real catastrophe and possibly an overthrow of our government. That was my comment. Thank you for giving me a chance to speak to you.
Yeah, I think you're right on both counts, Jack. First of all, they didn't take him up there because of the security threat to him, because the Secret Service will not take a president anywhere if they don't have the site secured, and especially if there are guns there. It's just too risky. And the Secret Service, it's sort of like a goalie in a hockey game. They get graded by, do they prevent this president from being assassinated? I mean, you know, they're not going to take that risk. They're not going to leave an open goal. So that's exactly right. It had the collateral good effect of not only getting him out of there, but he would have ginned up that crowd, and he would have said, you know, find Mike Pence, you know, bring him to me. And what that meant was they would hang him, and he would absolutely lather them up, and they would have attacked the cops even more. When it comes to overturning the government, I think the obligations that you had to him, the money they loaned for those casinos, and you go, well, you know, it was the corporation, not me. At some point, they stopped lending you money. If they continue to lend you money, at some point, bank examiners are going to look at them and saying, what are you doing lending money on loans that have been defaulted on six times? But he's still got plenty of money. Where did he get it from? He got it from Russia, from the oligarchs, ultimately from Putin. Why do I say that? Because Eric Trump said it to a reporter, boasting. He said, well, we get plenty of financing from the Russians. This is before his father ran for president. Now, when you are getting a lot of money, hundreds of millions of dollars from the Russians, what are you going to do when you're president? In the middle of the 2016 election cycle, at the Republican convention, he put Paul Manafort in charge of his campaign. Paul Manafort was paid $10 million by the pro-Russian-Ukrainian right, the collaborators, to advise them on how to overturn an election. So what he did is he changed the Republican Party platform right at the convention. It became more pro-Russian instead of pro-Ukrainian. People commented on it, but nobody paid it any attention at the time. That's why the Republicans have no platform now, because they're ashamed of what happened, but there isn't enough consensus in their party, because there, many of them are election deniers and many of them are anti-democracy. They can't agree on any platform, so they have no platform. When Trump got in, he would sometimes have meetings with Putin with only a Russian interpreter, not an American interpreter there. So Putin would put out a transcript and Trump would agree to it without anybody on our side having the slightest idea what Putin said in Russian or how it was translated to Putin. At Helsinki, meeting with Putin, somebody from the audience said, the CIA and the FBI said that Putin interfered in our election. You know, Trump had turned to Putin and said, did you? And, oh, I didn't do it. Trump said, I don't know why he would. What do you mean you don't know why he would? To get a stooge like you in there, that's why he would. So I trust him, not the FBI and not the CIA. And senators picked up on it. Ron Johnson in Wisconsin, when he was the chairman of the Homeland Security Subcommittee of the Senate, was asked if he trusted the FBI and the CIA, and he said no. Ron Johnson. And they reported to him in his position as chairman. That's what's going on. The Russians have gotten to him through Trump. The Russians have gotten to Tucker Carlson, gotten to Josh Hawley, gotten them lying Mike Pompeo. And people who are naturally autocratic themselves, people who are naturally drifting to fascism themselves, and fascism, by the way, is not an ideology, it doesn't have any core belief other than the retention of power by any means possible, including murder. Bolsonaro of Brazil is that way. And Turkey, Orban of Hungary, Orban of Hungary is that way. They all like each other. We can't have a fascist government back in the United States. But above all, we can't have a pro-Putin government back in the United States. Putin is a genocidal sadist, a disease-carrying rat, inhuman. He's got to be taken out. It's tactically unwise for us to do it, but circumstances have to build up very quickly to the point where the other autocrats, he's killed a number of them, six of them, and he stages them as murder-suicide scenes, but he's so stupid. Actually, he's not. He's sadistic. One of them in Barcelona, several in Russia, people are found dead. The autocrat who stood up to Putin, and six of them, they don't really stand up to him. They just start to get edgy, and he thinks they may overthrow him. And their wives and daughters, by the way. And a couple of these crime scenes, they're stabbed, which is nasty. These guys get in and just stab them. And Putin says that's a murder-suicide. Nobody commits murder-suicide by stabbing himself after he stabs his wife and his daughter. Nobody. Putin's lying. Now it just came out. They now demand, through Sergei Lavrov, Russia now says, we demand the ouster of Zelensky's unacceptable regime, quote unquote. Who the hell are they? This is Ukraine, independent country. Zelensky is one of the bravest and most effective leaders in the world. They want him out because he's standing up to Russia and killing about 40,000 troops so far. They're never going to be content. They will always lie. You have to understand this. A Russian lies because of his culture for 1,000 years. Let me give you a couple of other facts. First of all, Russia on Friday signed an agreement that's going to be guaranteed by Turkey and the United Nations that they would not bomb ships and ports and let Ukrainian grain get out to feed the third world. 2 hours later, they bombed Odessa. They bombed a grain warehouse, distribution center, and a railroad that was going to haul the grain. Just yesterday, they did it again. They bombed a site, Mykolaiv region, which is the port infrastructure. Ukraine is the largest exporter of sunflower oil in the world, and apparently that's very much needed to combat hunger. It's the fourth largest exporter of corn and the fifth largest of wheat. The Russians have blocked the Black Sea and the Sea of Azov. Turkey controls access to the Black Sea and has been in league with Russia on some things. Turkey, the former Ottoman Empire that ravaged Europe for 1,300 years. Why are we permitting this? They're using airplanes coming in over the Black Sea to bomb the ports of Odessa and the Mykolaiv region. And the idea is for them to occupy the Ruskies, all of the ports in the Black Sea. That'll destroy Ukraine because it'll be landlocked and have no way to ship out its goods other than by train through Romania and Poland. And they are bombing those rail links. You would think that Russia would succumb to things like sanctions. They don't. They don't care because they have complete Nazi control of the country. If anybody complains, what they will do is they'll torture them. They draft people, force them to fight. If they're wounded, like in Mariupol, and they can't evacuate them, they shoot their own wounded. They are animals. They're an animal culture. It is time we did a lot more than we did. The Germans are worthless. They will ship nothing to them. They won't even ship tanks to Ukraine, to Poland, to make up for the tanks that Poland sent to Ukraine. The only real ally we had in Europe was Boris Johnson of UK, and now he's out, and we have no idea these two characters who are going to come in, what they're going to do. Joe Biden, get him the jets. Get him the American jets. Train him in Poland and Romania, fly in, stopped the attacks on the port of Odessa and the Mykolaiv region, or they will succeed in what they're doing. The secondary consideration has, Putin has to be killed. A disease-carrying rat has to be killed. He's not human. Sergei Lavrov has to be killed. He's not human. Obviously, we can't do it strategically. We've got to put a lot more pressure on them to get the autocrats to kill them. They don't want a nuclear war. And we can do it with a surrogate Ukraine. Get them 100 HIMARS. Get them jets. The objective is to kill every Russian on Ukrainian soil and every Chechen. Put a bounty on them. Go to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Good morning. I was listening to what you were talking about, Matt. I really think we got to change our mantra a little bit. And here's how it goes, in my humble opinion. I think Biden is doing a good job. He could be doing better. And the way to get him to do a better job is to rally around Biden now. Those drones that were sent over there, he took a country that could have been defeated in 2 days and gave him enough arms to stretch it out this long. And just with a little more help, I think Biden, like most presidents, relies on polls. And if the polls show we want Biden to commit and challenge the other countries to take them out, we can do it. We can do it. And that's the, you know, the beauty of it is don't talk about how bad Putin is. Talk about how powerful we are. And let's be, thank God that Biden's in office, because can you imagine if Trump was running this? Ukraine would now be a Russian country. We just got to show support because Biden's on the right path. We got to push him a little harder, and the only way to push him harder is through the polls, through support, calling the office. I'm going to call Liz Cheney's office and Adam Kissinger's office and thank them for defending democracy.
Right,
That's how we can be active and show support for our country, because we are the best, and we got to portray ourselves that way. So thank you, Matt, and I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100% on that one. I'm with you 100% on that one. And first of all, here domestically, we need a responsible, able conservative party. That's the Republican Party, not a QAnon party and not a Trump party. And anything we can do to build up people, especially like Liz and Adam, but Mitt Romney, all these people, that's who we needed. That's why in the first segment, I thought it was so dumb for us to try to get guys like the Trump guy Cox and the Trump guy Mastriano into the governorship nomination for places like Maryland and Pennsylvania. We got to do that. And secondly, call Biden. Say thank him for his, get the jets over there. Get more drones and get 100 HIMARS. Get 100 HIMARS. We're going to a break. Thanks for calling, Bill, as always. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Now man's reign is through, but through eternal night, the twinkling of starlight.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to follow up what Bill Oconomowoc was talking about, what I was talking about, what Millie was talking about. And that is this. Presidents are cautious, that's true. They look at polls, that's true. But deep down inside, I think that Biden, objectively speaking, is doing a superb job, and he's down in the polls. And I have a theory, and it's this. People like an aggressive president. People expect the president of the United States, who's the most powerful nation in the world, to say to a two-bit nation like Russia, and we're not going to permit a genocide and the rape of women in front of their husbands and kids, and the shooting of civilians for sport. Russians will sit there, and as people run, they just shoot civilians. The Nazis did that just because they applied to join NATO. We're not going to permit it. We're going to send Navy ships into the Black Sea and escort the grain ships. Russia's already said that's fine. They fire on us, there will be no more Russian ships. If the Turks say you can't come up the Dardanelles and the Bosporus into the Black Sea, you can say The Ottoman Empire killed a lot of people in Europe for the last 1,300 years. That stops. Shut up. Shut up. And then they say, you're going to stop bombing Ukraine, and you're going to go to the table. You're going to give back the Donbass. You can talk about Crimea. Crimea has been in their possession now for 8 years. We should have been done something earlier. Nothing was done under Obama, and nothing was done under Trump. Trump was on the payroll of the Russians. Bill is absolutely right that if Trump had been president, that Russia would now own Ukraine, and I think Moldova, and Transnistria, which is the breakaway Russian province of Moldova, would be running the country. And then they would be egging on Russian-speaking people in eastern Estonia as well. Go to the lines. Robert of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Robert?
Morning. I saw yesterday that the obese orange grifter and company are coming to Milwaukee August 20th. And it's really shocking. So they're going to have an event. I think it's called the American Freedom Tour, which is just laughable. It's going to be at the Panther Arena, which is a little troubling, right? So we're taking a public venue that tax dollars were used, and then they're going to have these people roll in and spread their hate, their disinformation, their lies. People like Trump will be there. His son, Kimberly Guilfoyle, the son's girlfriend, who was involved with planning January 6th with Alex Jones and the Fincelli woman, who's the heiress, the public, gave a lot of money to the event.
Right.
It's just really shocking that they call themselves the Freedom Tour, you know, whether it's them or locally on the Wisconsin level, you know, they want to take us back to the 1840s, right? They don't want women in the office or in the boardroom. They want them in the kitchen or the bedroom, right? And that, in between voting and taking people's rights away by gerrymandering and coming up with anything they can do to keep people away from the ballot box, I just find it's really interesting that they call themselves the Freedom Tour. It's almost like everything they say, it's a complete 180 from what reality is. And I just wanted to let people know that in case they want to go down there and protest. It would be really great if every time they went to town somewhere, people tried to perform a citizen's arrest. If you remember what happened with Karl Rove running away during the Iraq War, it would be really great if at every venue they went to, if they were protested or interfered with in some way, because it's just really not good for the country, these people and what they're spreading and the activities that are taking place. And so, thank you.
Thanks for the info. We discuss it. Here's the deal. August 20, it starts at 8:15 in the morning, and it goes to 5 p.m. at night. Trump won't get there till like 4 o'clock. I mean, Crooked Mike Pompeo is going to be there, Don Jr., Kimberly Guilfoyle, and Dinesh D'Souza, a right-wing nut, and others of that kind, of that ilk. Now, it's a $39 admission, believe it or not, to get in. This is just, he's out for money. There's a presidential section that is $3,900, almost $4,000. And he's going to pocket it all, of course. And you sit there, and there's only the Panther Arena. You know, UWM is a great institution, but UWM is not sponsoring this. UWM is not involved in this. And when you have a public arena, then there are the issues of First Amendment and all that, differentiating among who can rent it. So that's probably why they rented it. It's going to seat a maximum of 5,000, which is a small rally for him. And it's 400 West Kilbourne Avenue, and that is the Panther Arena. Now, here's the deal. I mean, I want to be clear. We don't want any violence down there. We really don't. But you do have a right to make your views expressed as whether you want this idiot, this Putin, you know, God almighty, I mean, sort of the Putin agent to come into town. And remember, too, we're going to have to... You don't have to worry about this one. We have the Republican convention coming in probably in the summer of 24, and Trump will at least contest it. And even if he doesn't get the nomination, he'll complain and say it was rigged. And you'll go through the restaurants in Milwaukee, and you'll see Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert. You're going to see Paul Gosar. My God, I mean, you're going to see, you know, Josh Hawley and Cruz. I suspect what they're going to do is they're going to rent whole restaurants and not have them sitting on bar stools. But anyway, it could be very exciting times. Keep it nonviolent. Keep it nonviolent. As always, Robert, thank you for calling in. Appreciate it very much. I'm going to give you a couple of pieces of good news. One is Greg Conway, and he's the Lincoln Project guy married to Kellyanne Conway. I have no idea how the two of them can live under the same roof. I mean, Kellyanne Conway is a Trump disciple, and Greg Conway is Lincoln Project, liberal Republican, anti-Trump. Anyway, he correctly just said that if Trump ever got in, he'd be more, quote, more lawless than last time. Because I told you yesterday that he has a group of people going through the federal employment list, and they've come up with lists of thousands of people that he has the right to replace who are not civil servant in intelligence and defense, and he'll yank them and put in pro-Trump, pro-Putin people in our government. Well, finally, a piece of good news. The New York Post. Now, the New York Post is a New York newspaper with a very large circulation, and it is very Republican and very pro-Trump. They licked his boots forever. They finally came out with an editorial just now, and it said, quote, Trump is unworthy to hold office after his silence on January 6th. He's unworthy to hold office. For Trump to say that, or for the Post to say that about Trump, would be like the New York Times saying it about Biden. That is the core publication, and owned by the same people as Fox News. They are coming out and finally saying it. Because what did Trump do? He served up his vice president to be murdered. On January 6th, he got up there, remember, and he said, well, if Mike does the right thing, we'll save our country. And if Mike Pence, and if he doesn't, oh, well. Then they all go up saying, hang Mike Pence, and they built a gallows. And then he tweets out right in the middle of it, Mike Pence did not have the courage to do what he was supposed to do. That's a red flag to a bull, to people like that mob that were armed. Hang Mike Pence, and they swarmed through, and Mike Pence was 40 feet away. Go to Lambeau Field, look at TV, 13 yards is 39 feet. He's 40 feet away, a little over 13 yards from being murdered. Stomped to death, kicked to death, beaten to death, or hang. His own vice president. And the New York Post finally said, because of his silence, and really they could have said because of what he said, but his refusal to stop the mob and stop the murdering, no longer fit for public office. That is a huge, huge development. And the other good development I'm going to leave you with is this. GOP is attacking school boards around the country, fighting about critical race theory, which doesn't exist in schools, and how people teach sexual matters in the upper grades and all that. All of the evidence now shows it's a bust. Most people, even Republicans, even Trump supporters, like their public schools. They like their teachers and respect them. And in Georgia, Montana, New Hampshire, New York, Missouri, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, all of these tactics are not working. And the radical candidates are not winning. Coming to the end of the show, great show as always. Thanks for calling in. Great callers. Matt Flynn directly back, same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.